Father, just thank you for the opportunity tonight to come and to worship you. Lord, just to encounter you. But Lord, also to hear your voice. We pray, Father, that you'd speak to us tonight. Lord, that you would make us what you want us to be, and that you would use us, Lord, in this world for your honor and glory. I ask for your help, and I ask, Lord, for hearing ears, Lord, that we might hear, receive, and obey in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight, as you see, the title of the message is Paul Cared. Other than Jesus, there are three people that stand out as the greatest leaders in the Bible. And those would be Moses and King David and Paul. Now, there's lots of other great leaders, and certainly it's a little bit subjective. It's my opinion. But those three are just the most notable leaders in the Bible. And those three all shared this in common, that they cared deeply for those that they led. It's evident in the things that they said, their actions, and even in their prayers. They cared deeply for the people that they led. Now, I said before we even prayed, this is one that really we just can't miss. And I think we've touched on this in the past year in talking about some other leaders like Moses. But we need to get this, because there are a lot of people that want to lead, but they don't really care about people. It's that old adage, you know, the ministry's great if it just wasn't for the people, you know. And it's all about the people. That's the only thing that it's about is, you know, well, you say, oh, no, it's about God, bro. Listen, but the ministry, it's about getting people to God. But it's all about people. That's all the Lord really cares about is people. He doesn't care about stuff. I always got to say something to offend people. You know, he doesn't even care about your dog or your pets. Now, the only reason he cares about him is because he cares about you, all right? Let me just cover myself there real quick. Because, listen, God cares about your pet because you care about it, all right? But he really just cares about people. That's it. And I'm just telling you that if we want to help anybody, we want to influence anybody, we want to lead anybody, we've got to have this, that we care about that person, that we care about people. Truly great leaders lead with a servant's heart because they lead for the benefit of the people. They never lead just for selfish gain or selfish motives. Paul is a great example of somebody who truly cared about the people he was called to lead. And here's the first point. He cared enough to go. Wow, did he ever. He was called to be an apostle. Now, for the early church, those who were apostles were those that God had ordained as church leaders. They were called to lead. Here's what the Lord said about Paul in Acts 9:15. He says, he's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. And he did. The word apostle literally means sent one. That was certainly true of Paul. He was sent more than anybody else. I mean, you know, you don't ever hear much about the missionary journeys of Peter, James, or John. You know, there were others who did travel and went to places and started churches and ministered. But Paul was the one that had such an impact on that whole known world that those who go to Bible college or seminary, they learn about Paul's missionary journeys. They study. In fact, I've had Bibles that mapped them out because it was such a powerful influence and impact on Christianity at that time. But he went. And I got to tell you, part of that was because he cared so passionately about people. Even when he was persecuted, even when he was rejected, Even when at times maybe it didn't seem like he was accomplishing much, he just kept going. Now, I've mentioned several times, in fact, I already mentioned it once tonight, that every born-again Christian can lead someone because we have something that the lost don't have. All of us are called to reach someone, to make a difference in someone's life. We just have to care enough, listen, to go talk to them. Y'all are really quiet tonight. We just have to care enough that we overcome our fears, we overcome our feelings of inadequacy, we overcome whatever difficulty or challenge might be involved, that we care enough to go. Now, we need to let the Lord lead us, whether it's going next door or we're going to talk to a coworker. There's some people in our lives that maybe could, you know, can't receive from us, but can receive from somebody else. Y'all know what I'm saying? And then there are some times when it's just not the right time. We got to be led of the Lord. But hear this now. Too often, we just end up never going. And church, that can't happen. We got to care enough to go. We got to care enough to go talk to people who don't know the Lord. Listen, we got to care enough to go talk to people who are out of church. We got to care enough to be willing to go talk to the person who you know is not where they should be with the Lord. You can't force somebody to come to the Lord. Now, that's something we all know. But we need to ask ourselves, have we even tried? You can't force them, but have you tried to reach them? You can't make someone do right, but we got to do what we can. It's better to know that you tried than to wish you had. Amen? What if you knew? Listen, I really don't like it when preachers use these kind of statements, but I just can't get around it tonight, okay? What if you knew the Lord was coming back tonight? Now, no man knoweth the day or the hour, so you don't know. Whenever people start telling you they do know, well, they're just another crackpot, all right? But listen, what if you did, though? What if you knew that today was the day? Wouldn't we act different? I mean, wouldn't we just forget about all of the foolishness and busyness of this life and do the one thing that's absolutely the most important and tell everybody we could about the Lord if we really knew that? And I'm not trying to say that, you know, hey, it's, you know, you need to go out running out of here tonight and calling all your friends and telling. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that we do need to get to it. See, we need to realize that too often we just put things off and put things off. We know we should talk to somebody about the Lord, or we know that person needs to be back in church, and we just keep putting it off. And I want to encourage you. See, what if you knew that this was that person's last day here on earth? Well, let me tell you on the flip side of that, you don't know that it's not. And too often, we just keep putting things off and saying, well, you know, you can't force somebody, but have we done what we could do? And that's what I'm trying to say to you tonight, is we got to care enough to go. If it's a big deal to us, I mean, if we just really, with all our heart, we want that person to know the Lord with all our heart, we're trying to help that person. I'm just telling you, it's amazing how much more effective a passionate witness is than one who just kind of sort of doing it. I'm telling you, here's the key. We got to really care. Paul cared enough to go, and we got to care enough to talk to people. Now, I want to say this. A lot of the time, I realize the people in our lives that we're trying to influence or help, they know the Lord, they know Jesus, but there's so many that aren't really walking with the Lord, and we need to use our influence. Remember, leadership is often talked about as being influence. We need to use our influence, whatever influence we might have in their life, to help them in their relationship with God. I want to show you this, how Paul wanted to reach the Israelites so bad. The Bible says he had great sorrow. It's Romans 9, 1 through 3. And he says, I tell the truth in Christ, I'm not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continually grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. Now, I just want to point out to you here, he's not actually saying that he wished he was cursed. He says, I could wish. He's just expressing how strongly he feels about this, how passionate he is about it. He talks about this continual grief. Now, we also know that he was always saying things like, rejoice always. He's rejoicing in the Lord, but yet there's this place in his heart where there's just always this grief because he wanted to reach his own people so bad. And I'll tell you, church, we need that kind of compassion, that kind of passion for helping people, for reaching people. If we have that, I'm telling you, it'll motivate us to go. It'll motivate us to talk to them. Paul cared enough. Oh, this is going to be a weird one. That's all right. We'll get through it. Paul cared enough to bring correction. Now, there's a couple other ways you can term that, and you might make note of this in your notes there, but sometimes it's correction, and sometimes it's instruction, but I just, whatever you want to term it or whatever you want to call it, we need to understand that leaders that only say what people want to hear are not really leaders. I mean, if somebody's going the wrong direction and you don't say anything to turn them around or to show them the truth, you're not helping them. And Paul cared enough. In fact, some people kind of fault him for this, but he cared enough to correct and bring instruction, even when it wasn't the easy thing to do and it was difficult. You know, it's great when you can just give somebody positive counsel and instruction, and that does it. But sometimes we just got to speak the truth in love and tell someone when they're doing wrong. Now, I'm going to deal with this a little bit. I'm going to clarify some things here because I realize there's a whole lot of religious people out in this world who go around judging and correcting and criticizing people, and that's not what I'm talking about. But I do want you to see that there are times, in fact, we're going to look at the most famous or infamous time, I guess you might want to say, where Paul corrected someone. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 1 through 5. Pretty extreme situation, but he says, it's actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife, and you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For indeed, as absent in body, but present in spirit, I have already judged as though I were present him who has so done this deed in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together along with my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, Paul's actually bringing correction, not only for this one who's committed this terrible sin, but he's also bringing correction on the Corinthian church because he's saying, you guys hadn't handled this right at all. And what an extreme situation, and what an extreme way that he deals with it. He says, hey, when y'all come together, turn this guy over to Satan. Now, what would y'all think if pastor said that? But this was an extreme situation, and it required something extreme to be done. And I just want you to see, like I said, this is probably the wildest example that there is, but we need to see this, that he was willing to deal with stuff. He was willing to correct things when people were doing wrong. And he did it for the sake of the church, but he also did it for the sake of that individual. Because don't forget, he says, turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh so that his spirit will be saved. See, sometimes correction is hard and it's no fun, but it's so necessary. If he didn't correct this situation, that man probably would have gone to hell. But what an impact and influence it would have had on that church if that kind of thing had continued. And no telling how many people it would have affected and infected. And I'm just telling you that sometimes you got to bring correction. Sometimes you got to tell somebody when they're heading the wrong direction. See, Paul knew that this was the only thing that might reach that man. Many of Paul's letters, he brings correction again and again. And of course, there's all kinds of instruction. But he's trying to teach, he's trying to mature, he's trying to grow those that he's leading. And he says, I want to see Christ formed in you. And I'm telling you that those that we would lead or we want to influence, you see, we got to care enough that we want to see Christ formed in them, that we're willing to tell them if they're going the wrong way. We're willing to tell them what they need to change. I'm going to clarify. I know some of you are thinking, oh my, what a can of worms I'm opening, right? I mentioned Moses and David earlier. Both of them brought correction at times. It just goes with the job of being a leader. And whether you're leading one person to the Lord or you're raising godly children, or you're leading a small group or working in some area of ministry, there's times when you got to correct stuff. And I'm just telling you, it goes with the job. I don't want anybody to get the idea that we're supposed to go around correcting everybody. Did everybody hear what I said? This is the one time, say amen. Because if you don't hear anything else, I want you to hear that I'm not saying we're supposed to go around correcting everybody. Remember, to some degree, leadership is influence. And if we have influence in somebody's life and we see them going the wrong way, we see them doing something that's going to bring harm in their life or keep them from the blessings of God, then we need to tell them. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Now listen, I said if you have influence in their life. See, what religious people like to do is they like to go around blasting people that they have no influence and no relationship with. That's ridiculous. All that does is turn people away from God. But when you have a relationship with somebody and you have a level of influence in their life and you have credibility with them, then you need to use that to speak into their life and to try to help them. Now, some of you are probably thinking, well, I don't know about this. Listen, let me just give you an example where Jesus corrected somebody. Well, he actually did it a lot, and some of it was pretty harsh if he was correcting the religious people because that was the only way you could get through to them. But what about the rich young ruler? Now, this guy asked for it. You know, sometimes people will ask you for help. They may not like the answers, but sometimes they'll open the door. And this guy comes to Jesus and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, you know the commandments. You got to do this and you got to do that. And he says, all these I've kept from my youth up. And Jesus says, one thing you lack. But actually, before he says that, it says this. It says that Jesus looked at him and he loved him. This is real important. Because why would you correct somebody? Why would you tell them? Why would you instruct them? Because you love them. That's it. In fact, that's really the determining factor in whether or not it's right or not for you to correct somebody. See, if it's because of religious pride or some kind of weird kick, or you just want to correct people, that's not God. That's fruitless. But if you really care about this person and you love them and you're trying to help them, Jesus tells the rich young ruler, one thing you lack, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and then come follow me. Now the guy goes away sad because he had so much stuff. But listen, Jesus didn't reach everybody, and you're not going to either. But God forbid that we didn't even try. Y'all are quiet tonight. Is it just one of those kind of messages, or we'll keep going, all right? We just got to care enough to tell somebody if they're going the wrong way. I've known some religious people that they just like to go around telling everybody they were doing wrong. That's not what I'm talking about. I've known some who judged everybody for every little thing. You know, I mean, it didn't matter what you did. You know, they wanted to measure, you know, how far your dress came to your knee, and, you know, and if you were, oh my goodness, I've known so many religious nuts. There is nobody so nutty as a religious nut. Young couples, one time a pastor of church, some of the young couples were playing dominoes, and so they started telling everybody in town that we were having gambling at the church. I was so dumb and naive, I didn't even know people gambled over dominoes, but I guess they judged by their own heart. I guess they'd done that. I don't know. But anyway, people just get so weird and religious, and I'm not talking about that kind of garbage. But I'm talking about when you see somebody going the wrong direction, and you know you could help that person, oh, you need to do it. You need to step in. You need to speak into their life. And even if it doesn't work, listen, if you did it in the right heart and did it in the right way, that's not a bad thing. They're not going to hate you because you loved them. The key is they have to know we care. You know that old saying, they don't care what we know till they know we care. You got to let them know that you care, and that's why you talk to them. Now, here we are talking about correction. And the one thing I keep thinking of, and I have to talk about for just a minute, is correction at home with children. Parents, your number one responsibility before God is to raise your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You need to teach them what it is to be a Christian, to be a disciple, to follow Jesus, and to have a relationship with God. Children's ministries and youth ministries and all those things can help and step in and fill in some gaps. But I'm just telling you that when it's all said and done, for the believer, for the parent who is a believer, that responsibility falls on us. But I also want to encourage you. We live in such a crazy world nowadays where people are afraid to correct their children. You know, you're going to repress their personality. Listen, I'm just telling you, you need to correct your children. You need to mold and shape them. A child, this is what the Bible says, a child left to himself will bring disgrace on his mother. The Bible says, if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. Now, I know there's a lot of controversy and things over how much is too much when it comes to corporal punishment and all that kind of thing. And I'm not even getting into that tonight. I'm just saying this, that you need to be the person in that child's life who brings correction and instructs them in what is right. And it's right for you to do it. I just want to encourage you in that. And when it comes to correction, here's the most important thing that I've learned about where so many people get an error. See, I'm bringing correction right now. They don't want to correct their child. And they say, oh, well, I just love them. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to correct them. I don't want to discipline them because I just love them. And they'll just let things go and let things go and let things go until finally they get mad. And now they're going to let them have it. That is exactly the wrong way to do it. Instead, you do it with consistency. You do it every time. You correct, you correct, you correct. You don't even want to do it. It hurts you. It hurts your heart to do it. But you do it because you love them. And when you do it like that, you don't ever do it in anger. You always do it in love. Okay, I'm done correcting. Let's move on. Paul cared enough to restore. Back to our infamous example of sin and Paul's famous correction, but this time it's in 2 Corinthians 2, 3 through 11. He says, I wrote this very thing to you, lest when I came I should have sorrow over those from whom I ought to have joy, having confidence in you that in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have so abundantly for you. And I just think it's amazing that he notes here that he wrote to them with many tears. See, when he brought correction and when he addressed those situations, it wasn't some flippant, you know, he just going around straightening people it out. No, he did it with tears, that he was grieved. And he did it in love. He says, that you might know the love which I have so abundantly for you. Let's read on. He says, if anyone has caused grief, he's not grieved me, but all of you to some extent, not to be too severe. This punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man, so that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. For to this end, I also wrote that I might put you to the test whether you are obedient in all things. Now, whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. See, he wasn't letting Satan get in any way. But notice this, that now he is talking about restoring this brother who had brought so much sin. And now he's talking about restoring him. And you know what? That should always be the goal when we're trying to talk to somebody about the Lord or we're trying to correct somebody, instruct somebody. It is always because we want to help them get closer to Christ. We want to see Christ formed in them. We want to see them living in all that God has for them. And so Paul cared enough to go out of his way to see this man restored. He didn't want Satan to get even one victory. Now you think about this. Is there somebody you could help restore? Now, let's not let Satan have even one. I mean, this guy was, he was pretty bad, wasn't he? Oh, come on. He was a sicko. Pastor said sicko. That's just weird. Anyway, this guy was really weird. And yet, Paul talks about restoring him, not letting Satan have him. And I'm telling you, all of us know some people we could help to restore. Galatians 6:1, Paul writes, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Now, when you're trying to help someone who's done wrong, here's how, this will really help you know how to do that. Treat them the way that you would want to be treated if you were in their shoes. You restore such a one in the spirit of meekness or gentleness. You just treat them the way you would want to be treated if you were them. But don't miss this. We're supposed to restore them. Somebody's overtaken in a fault, then those who are spiritual have a responsibility to restore them. Paul cared enough to pray. Haven't given you very many scriptures yet, but y'all can see how many I have there. I'm going to try to move along here pretty quick, but this is one of the most outstanding characteristics, really, of Paul as a leader. It's so evident in his letters that he prayed for those that he cared for over and over and over. He tells people that he's praying for them. And many times he even records his actual prayers. Part of his prayer that he prayed for them was recorded. Every great leader knows that dealing with people is a challenge. They have their own free will. They have their own mind, their own way of thinking. Come on now. Some of you dealing with a teenager, you know what I'm talking about. And sometimes it can seem impossible to reach some people or to help some people. It's really hard to help somebody that just doesn't want to be helped. Amen? But every great leader knows that we're not doing this alone. We're co-laborers with God. And what we can't do, He can. Remember this, prayer is our most powerful resource as a leader. You know, sometimes we say when all else fails, pray. And I suppose you could say that here. How much better to pray first? And when everything else fails, pray too. But we just got to remember this as a leader. There's nothing more powerful than prayer. And I'm telling you, we got to care enough that it puts us on our knees for them, that we really pray for them. If you want to help somebody, you want to lead somebody, you want to influence somebody, you got to be praying for them. And I think that it's a good idea to do like the Apostle Paul did and tell them, I'm praying for you. Now, it's real important how you say that, the tone of your voice and the attitude, because if you say, I'm praying for you, but you know what? If you tell them in love and you say, I just want you to know I'm praying for you, God can use that very thing to soften their heart. He can use that very thing when they're at the bottom of the barrel, they'll remember that you're praying for them. Prayer is so powerful. Listen, the Lord can turn the heart in a way that all the preaching and teaching and instructing and nagging can't ever. Let me give you a couple of examples that Paul lets people know he's praying for them. Romans 1, 8, and 9, he says, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit and the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Ephesians 1, 15 and 16. It says, after I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Colossians 1, 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Philippians 1, 3 and 4. By the way, I'm not even going to read them all, but I just want you to get the tone here and the attitude that everybody, you see, that he's leading, everybody that he has influence with, he lets them know, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you. And if we're going to be spiritual leaders, we need to be letting people know, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you. Now, you can't just tell them, you got to do it. Philippians 1, 3, and 4. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy. But notice how he starts that. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Here's a good way to remember to pray for people. Just every time you think of them, pray for them. Upon every remembrance. I mean, if they come to mind, then pray for them. It doesn't have to be a long prayer, but you just say, Lord, bless them. Lord, help them. Lord, send somebody to talk to them. But pray something for them. Every time they come to mind, we'll just pray for them. Listen, nobody got more done than Paul did. And I think here's part of the key. He was praying for people all the time. If you're not praying for someone, you really don't need to be trying to influence them. Prayer should be the starting place for discipleship. You know, leading people is never about our will, but God's. And so when you pray for people, always pray according to the will of God. Remember what First John says about that. If you ask anything according to his will, you know that he hears you. And you have the petitions that you've asked of him. So when you're praying for people, pray according to the will of God. Pray according to the word of God. Don't just pray what you want, but pray what God wants for that person. When somebody's missing church, pray for them. When somebody's involved in things that aren't pleasing to the Lord, we'll pray for them. Not talk about them, talk to the Lord about them. Pray for those that are going through a difficult time to be strengthened in the inner man. I love this prayer of Paul. It's Ephesians 3, 14 through 16. He says, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Pray that God will strengthen them in the inner man. I'm just telling you, we need a whole lot more prayer in the body of Christ and a lot less criticism. I know I was talking about correction a few minutes ago, but I'm talking about where we are fault finding and we just see this wrong and see that wrong. You know, when you see something wrong, that's a good opportunity for you to pray. Prayer makes a difference. Battles are won or lost whether or not we pray. I told you Moses was one of those other great leaders of the Bible and how he cared for people. We talked about this not too long ago, but I want to remind you of it. Numbers 14, Moses is talking to the Lord. And the Lord's talking to Moses. And the Lord says, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me? With all the signs which I have performed among them, I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. So here Moses is God's leader. He has the opportunity that God is just going to start over with him, and he's going to get rid of all these troublemakers and all these people that have rejected the Lord and just refused to do right and really believe and trust God. But here's what Moses does in verse 19. It says, he says, pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. Don't ever underestimate the power of prayer. God forgave them. God showed them mercy. He was ready just to wipe them out and start over with Moses. But just because of Moses' intercession, God showed them mercy. He said, I pardoned at your word. Do you know that God can do that for you where your children are concerned? Your loved ones, your neighbors? People that have wronged you? Pray for them that God would show them mercy and give them another chance and turn their heart. And you know, God won't override somebody's free will, but God can set people up. Let me just give you a biblical example, all right? Anybody ever heard of Jonah? Anybody ever heard of Jonah and a whale, the big fish? You know what happened to Jonah? Jonah didn't want to do God's will. You know what God did? He put him in the belly of a big fish until he was ready to do his will. That's exactly how the story goes. And when he's ready to do God's will, God lets him out. And I'm just telling you, God can turn a heart. Don't you limit God. He won't take away a man or a woman's free will, but he sure can set them up where they're going to get in a place where they want to change their mind. I've seen a lot of people in the belly of a whale. Some of them it takes more than 3 days. Some of them it takes 3 or 4 years. But I'm just telling you, God can deal with somebody. And you need to believe that you're praying for people. That's the most powerful thing that you can do. But you got to care enough to pray for them. Most of us just spend too much time talking about people, wishing, complaining. And I'm just telling you, we have such a power to be able to come to the Lord and pray in faith. It makes the difference. You know, praying doesn't really take any more energy than complaining. Probably less. But it's just the spirit is weak and the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. There it is. Yeah, you know, our spirit, we want to pray, but we just give in to the flesh. That's that old carnal man just complaining. No, we need to be diligent to pray and believe God. And I just want to close with this. Listen, this whole message tonight is about caring for people. And if we're going to lead people, if we're going to help somebody, you got to care about them. You got to care enough to go talk to them. You got to care enough to bring instruction or correction when it's needed, when they're going the wrong direction. You got to care enough to try to restore those people. And you got to care enough to pray for them. But here's where the circle is, where the chain reaction is. If you don't care, pray. Just pray. I'm just telling you, if you'll pray for people, God will give you a greater burden for people. If you'll just pray for them, God will put them on your heart where you'll get to the place where you're willing to do something about it. And I just encourage you, that's the starting place. You know, as we talk about these great leaders, the one thing that they all three had in common is they cared deeply about those who were under their charge. And I just encourage you, if that care in your heart, oh, use that. Let it drive you. Let it move you. Most of all, let it move you to prayer. And if you don't have that burden for somebody that you know that God wants to use, just begin to pray for them. And just pray diligently for them. God will not only deal with them, but he'll deal with your heart. Well, I want you to stand with me, and we're going to pray. And I just encourage you that even as we pray tonight, God may put some people on your heart that he wants you to talk to, or he wants you to pray for, put on your prayer list. But let's just be sensitive to the Lord and let God use us. I'm telling you, this generation needs leaders, needs people that are willing to lead. And I believe he's calling you. Father, I just thank you for your great love for us. Oh, Father, such compassion and kindness you have showed us. Father, I pray that love of God would be in us and upon us, Lord, to use us to reach out to a hurting world. Oh, Father, that we will go, oh, Lord, not with a religious intent, but, Father, with the intent to love people and to see them in a relationship with you. I pray, Father, that you just speak to our hearts tonight and guide our footsteps, Lord. I pray that you would just give us those divine opportunities, Lord, to speak into somebody's life and see them never the same, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, use us for your glory and honor. I thank you for it. Amen. 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 Well, I love you. I'm praying for you. I appreciate every one of you. I thank God for you. And I just want to encourage you, go get them. Amen. Lord bless you.